I'm live from the UK on Expat Radio for the lunchtime show with myself, Claire Stanley, and the awesome, who are you?
Neville Wright, and good afternoon.
Afternoon, isn't it? Hello. Yes. How have you been?
Very well, thank you. I've been out this week on the tools. I know our guest, Joseph, will be saying, get off the tools, but I love it. I love it. So I've had about 12-hour days on the tools, and I've been exhausted.
You've been exhausted?
Exhausted.
How many days, though? Because the first day of being exhausted didn't stop you from doing the next one, did it?
It didn't.
Did you work out before you went as well?
I did, yeah. Nah. 5 o'clock.
Honestly, this guy is, what, you're 75 next month?
No, I'm 76 in 1 month's time today.
So for anybody that would like to send well wishes, donations, cases of beautiful red wine, we will send a link out there to you.
Yes.
So this week we have another fantastic guest. He is local here to sunny Peterborough town, and that is Mr. Joseph Valente. But before we go to Joseph, we're going to listen to the Rolling Stones' new single, In the Stars.
Back to the Expat Radio, you're live on the Lunchtime Show with myself, Claire, and the wonderful Neville.
Oi, oi. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we have a treat for you this week. We have the winner of The Apprentice in 2015. Yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't done my research. Joseph Valente, hello and welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So, Neville, go on.
Yes,
do your thing.
Yes, I've been looking forward to this day for weeks. And I think people who are listening to the show are going to get some real good gems out of this. They are. So, Joseph, for those who may not know you and your story, can you just take us back to how it all began?
Yeah, so I think I want to take you back to when I was 14. I was expelled from school. I was down and out. Everybody had given up on me. I remember coming out of the headmaster's office. My mum was crying, and she looked at me and she said, "What are you gonna do now, son?" And I remember thinking, why is everybody writing me off? Just because I haven't got school to work for me, it doesn't mean that I'm a failure. But at that very moment, I realized that the cavalry wasn't coming. There was no one coming to save me. And if I was going to be successful, it was going to be down to me. My dad had left. My mum had given up on me. The teachers were gone. And that was quite a humbling moment because it was me versus me. And I made this immediate shift into wanting to prove a point that Joseph Valente was going to be somebody.
Yeah, that's the...
Do you know what bothers me about that?
Yeah.
There's quite a bit, but one of them, being a mum of three sons, was like, you just literally at the end there saying, my mum gave up on me. Like, that's pretty crap.
Yeah.
I kind of want to take you back to that feeling because that blows my mind, because for me, it should be unconditional. So how did that make you feel?
Well, it wasn't the greatest feeling in the world, but in my mum's defence, I suppose, I'd put the woman through a lot of pain. In my teenage years, I was a kid that went off the rails, got into a lot of trouble, and, you know, it was just one thing after another. So I'm sure at that point, she just didn't know what to do with me.
You know,
when a young man's dad leaves,
especially
as a young teenager, I became very angry with the world, very hard to manage. Anybody that tried to impose their authority on me had no chance.
Yeah.
And so I suppose that she just didn't know what to do and handled that situation.
Yeah.
But it was quite, again, it was quite a humbling experience, and it was almost like, well, it's me versus me. And from that moment, I've always backed myself. You know, there's one person that I can rely on and one person only in this world, and it's me.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a good feeling.
Well, you can't blame his mum, and I'm sure she was only like that, but she still loved her son, but wanted him to know that he was wrong in what he did.
And your accountability acknowledgement is powerful.
Yeah, he's done this because he wants to prove his mum wrong.
Yeah.
And everybody else, the teachers and everybody else. So, you know, bring you forward, so what was life like before The Apprentice, and what was you doing, and why did you get into The Apprentice?
So I came from a family that was quite poor growing up. We struggled financially. My mum worked three jobs, my dad didn't work, he was an alcoholic, he drank every day, he had no ambitions, no goals, and you know, no hopes, and money was the problem in our household. Every negative energy and experience was down to the fear and the worry about how we were going to pay the bills. And I made a decision when I was a kid that I was never going to live like that, and that wealth creation was my way out. And if I was going to take care of my mum, that I needed to be successful. And when I left school, I went from being the worst student ever to the best employee, because at 14 years of age, I went to work. I found a local plumber. He just started his business, and I went and worked on the tools for a year and a half to earn the right to get me to be put into college. And then I realized that there was this game that you could play where you acquired new knowledge and then that unlocked the next level of wealth. So I went from an apprentice to a plumber to a qualified gas engineer to, at 22 years of age, being in a position where I was ready to start a business. I was so committed to putting my mum into retirement, to paying her back for all the hard work she'd done for me over those years, that I realized very quickly I wasn't going to be able to take care of my family, put my mum into retirement on a £50,000 a year salary. At 22 years of age, that's what I was getting paid, which isn't bad, but it is only taking care of my own bills. It isn't going to give everybody else the freedom that I want them to have. So I started a business. That business was called Impregas. And I started that company because my mum got me Lord Sugar's autobiography for Christmas. Wow. The book was called What You See Is What You Get.
Not such a bad mum then, after all.
So I never said she was a bad mum. No. She's not listening to this. I hope she's not tuned in to it.
I hope you are, mum.
We'll make him grovel.
So I'd just come back from Australia. I'd got back into the job that I'd tried to escape. And that Christmas, I knew something needed to change. Anyway, she got me this £10 book. At 22 years of age, I wasn't into personal development. I didn't really like education, and I definitely didn't read books. But I was an apprentice fan, and so I gave it a go. And the book was this thick. Well, over that two-week period that we had off over Christmas, I read it cover to cover. And I was staying up doing all-nighters, you know, reading this book at 9 hours at a time. And something changed within me within that moment. My DNA started to shift. I started to believe that anything was possible for me, because Lord Sugar came from a council estate in the 50s. He had no money. You know, he didn't have the best start. He didn't come from the best family. He didn't get given a level up with wealth. You know, didn't come from the right town or school. And he was able to build billionaire wealth. And at that moment, I realized that all the excuses I'd made in my whole life as to why I couldn't be successful, my dad left, you know, expelled from school, didn't come from money, had a rubbish education, were actually just excuses I was telling myself to justify why I wasn't the person that I wanted to be. I looked at his story, I looked at my story, and I said, he's got nothing that I don't have. So if he can do it, I can do it.
And it's that relatability, isn't it?
So you was looking through this 3-inch book, you was reading it, and you was realizing you've got to burn your bridges. You wasn't going to use those excuses as crutches anymore. And we've just looked at my back catalogue of different things, and it's The Secrets to Manifesting Your Destiny by Wayne Dyer, which I got those tapes in the 80s. You was doing this. You was manifesting your destiny as you was reading that book 24 hours a day, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because, you know, that book played such a fundamental part in my business career. And at the end of reading it, I took out a £15,000 loan from Tesco's, no business plan, called up my boss, quit my job, then called my mum and told her that I was starting this business and that in 5 years, everything was going to be amazing. I was going to put her into retirement and, you know, everything was going to be great. She didn't give me the response that I wanted, which is, oh, my God, you're the best son in the world. I can't wait for that time to happen. It was, what do you think you're doing? You don't know anything about business. Why would you take a risk? Why are you so impulsive? What a stupid thing to do. You've got a house. You've got a salary. Give the money back. But then your boss up. Get the job back.
But that's come from a place of protection.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, she's afraid.
She's afraid based on her beliefs. And I do think that, you know, it's really important for anyone listening, be careful who you get your advice from. Because I called my mum because ultimately I wanted her permission. I wanted her to, tell me that what I was doing was the right thing. And I do believe family and friends for big dreamers and big achievers can be at times your biggest blocker. Some try and hold you back because they're jealous. Some try and hold you back because they're actually scared for you.
Yep.
But being an entrepreneur and a risk taker, you know, my mum wasn't an entrepreneur and a risk taker. She was a saver and she had to save to keep our family going. So going to her for business advice, I was never going to get the right response that I wanted.
Yeah.
No. You know, and I became very selective about the advice that I was, you know, listening to as the years went on.
So here you are, you've started your business, you got your 15,000 loan and your business was, you was in your business. What made you go on to The Apprentice?
Okay, so I started at 22. By the time I was 25, I got the business to doing about 600,000 a year. I was a plumber running a plumbing company, and I was working 7 days a week. Genuinely, I was operating about 18 hours a day, and I was running the business from my head. I felt like at any moment, if I took my eye off the ball for a second, the business would collapse, because I built no systems. And when I got to the seventh day, and I only had a few hours left, I came to realize that hard work wasn't going to get the job done, because I was only doing 600 grand a year and I was working 7 days a week. There wasn't an eighth day. So if I wanted to become a multimillionaire, I had to learn how to work smarter. And there was no trade mastermind around when, you know, I was coming up. There was, you know, just really The Apprentice. And the reason that I went on it was for three things. One, I needed a mentor. I think that's so fundamental in everybody's success. You've got to have someone that's going to guide you and teach you and show you the way. The next thing I needed was attention. I'm just a small-time player from a village in Peterborough. Nobody knew who I was. I needed to get my name out there. And then the third thing I needed was some cash flow, because if you're going to scale, you need money. And The Apprentice did all three things. It gave me a mentor, it gave me attention, and it gave me cash flow.
So you won The Apprentice. You was determined to win The Apprentice, and you knew everything about him because you'd read the book.
Yeah.
So when you won The Apprentice, it must have been